Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be here, to be your children this evening. Father, I pray, Lord, that the thoughts that you've given to me, they may be able to be expressed and understood tonight. And only you can do that, we pray now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Brian wanted me to read a quote real quick that kind of clarifies, I guess, or summarizes a little bit about what he was talking about this morning on the five wise virgin. And from questions and answers in Genesis in the COD, there are your five wise virgins who had oil in their lamps, rapturing faith, believing all the signs, wonders, and prophecies, everything. And these five cut out the remnant, was taken away. And the rest of them were still virgins and will not be lost, but will go through the tribulation period. Amen? I might just expound a little bit on that. Brother Branham talked about beyond the curtain of time and the things that would happen in the city quite a bit. Now, can I go find them like in a quote right now? It might take me actually a week. But he did say for the bride, you know, we live inside the city. But he said we would be given permission to be able to go outside the city and to fellowship with, he said, literally millions upon millions that will live outside the city. So just because someone isn't bride doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to receive the reward and have eternal life and be able to live outside the city. So for those that worry about their loved ones, just keep the blood over them, and if they had to go through the tribulation, we don't wish that on anybody, but, you know, it God has made a way. Amen. All right. So for my thought this evening, I hope I can get through 19 pages, so I'm going to try to read really fast and not talk a whole lot. It wasn't so from the beginning. Excuse me. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And anything that God has ever done, created, said, is perfect. And it will never change. That's amazing. And that is where we are going back to. We're here in a fallen state, but this is where we're going. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks. Always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to be obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelations 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. John 1:3-7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for he is seed. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Amen? I actually think, Brother Brian, that I might have downloaded the wrong one, but it's all in here. It's just longer. Because I specifically remember taking that scripture out. So anyways, here we go. From the Sumerian church age, this is kind of a long quote, but Brother Branham, via Brother Vell, just really defines it very well. So bear with me on this long one here, and then we'll go into some shorter ones. The spirit of the Antichrist is not new. This is not something that just came in the church ages. It has been here all along. To get a clear understanding of how it works and how it goes against God and takes over in the church. Look at the Old Testament and see it there. Let us examine this spirit as it was manifest in Israel as she came out of Egypt to be the church in the wilderness. Just as the early church started out under the pure ministry of the Holy Spirit with signs, wonders, and manifestations such as prophecies, tongues, and interpretations, wisdom, knowledge, and healing, so in the days of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were under the leadership of the Spirit of God, manifesting in gifts. God was the leader of the people. Actually, he was their king. He was a father king. He took care of the children, took care of Israel like a man cares for his family. He fed them, fought their battles, soothed away their difficulties, and settled their problems. He just busied himself over them. They were the only nation in which he was truly God. But one day they got to looking around and they saw the Philistines and the other nations with kings over them. It caught their eye, and decided that they ought to humanize their leadership. So they wanted a king. Now God was going to humanize the leadership himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see their problem? They got ahead of God. Every time man fails or messes up, you can 99% guarantee that he got ahead of God. We get in there and we think, oh, we're just going to help him out. We're going to, get it further down the road quicker. That is the wrong way to do it. Amen. Satan knew the plan of God, so he put it in their heart, in the hearts of the people, to get ahead of God, the word. When they approached Samuel and asked for a king, Samuel was so dismayed that his heart almost failed him. God had been leading his people through this consecrated scripture, vindicated prophet, and he felt that he had been rejected. He gathered the people and pleaded with them not to turn away from God, who had carried them like children and prospered them and blessed them. But they persisted. They said, Samuel, you have never been wrong in your leading. You have never been dishonest in your financial dealings. You have done your best to keep us in line with the word of the Lord. We appreciate the miracles, the wisdom, the provision, and the protection of God. We believe in it. We like it. And furthermore, we don't want to be without it. But just that we want a king to lead us to battle. Now, of course, when we go out to the battle, it is still our intention to have the priests go ahead with Judah following, and we'll be blowing the trumpets and shout and sing. We don't intend to stop any of that, but we want a king who is one of us to lead us. And God said to Samuel, see, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me for ruling over them. Amen. How tragic was that? Little did they realize that when they were asking God to lead them, let them be like the rest of the world, they were rejecting him. Because God had ordained that his people act different from the world. They are not of the world, and they do not look like the world, and they do not act like the world. They are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto them. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, one of the differences between Israel and the rest of the nations was God put to one side and Israel was like the other nation. When Samson cut off his hair, he was like any other man. Put the leadership of the Holy Ghost aside, and the church is nothing but the world with God's name on it, attached to it. The world and the church are all of the same lump. Just like Jacob and Esau were of the same parents, but the Spirit of God makes the difference. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. Anyone can do that. The point is whether or not you have the Spirit of God in you. For without that Spirit, you are a reprobate. You are none of his. Amen. Not too long ago, I asked a lady if she were a Christian. She said to me, well, I'll have you to know, sir, that I burn a candle every night. What in the world has that got to do with it? I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. That has nothing to do with it. It is the Holy Ghost or perish. We'll start way back there in the first church. The people got to thinking and reasoning and how to improve on God. And the deeds of the Nicolaitans began showing themselves. Then a group formed. They drifted away from the pattern of the word. All it takes is just one word changed, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He that offends in one point of the law is guilty of all. Eve just changed one word. That will do it. And when that Satan-centered group was formed, it began to hate and to fight the true believers, insisting that the aliens, were the church of God. Notice how organization breeds hate. It destroys fellowship. It makes bitterness. That is what myrrh means. This is what Samaria was full of, bitterness. A root of bitterness defiles many. So more and more defilement was coming in. Every age would feel its scars. The Syrian church had drifted far from the original. It had become a hybrid. It had hybrided itself the way Eve did. You know that a hybrid is what comes of two species mixing. The result is no longer pure like the original. It is a mongrel. Well, when Eve allowed the beast to mingle his seed with hers, she produced a creature called Cain that wasn't pure human. He was of the wicked one. Notice how different he was from Abel. Notice how different he was from Seth. He hated God and would not obey the word, and persecuted and killed the righteous. He set himself up above the word of God. The church, too, has departed from what she originally was. She is a hybrid. That is it. The church nominal is a hybrid. People say, I am a Baptist. It wasn't so in the beginning. I am a Methodist. It wasn't so in the beginning. Instead of the straight word of God, instead of the spirit-filled men in the church who were leading by spirit-given revelation, there are now creeds and bylaws and educated guesses and educated men. Learning has taken the place of revelation. Reason has replaced faith. Promise program has replaced spontaneous praise in the Holy Ghost. It wasn't so from the beginning. The whole species has changed. It has become a hybrid church. Now then, when the church becomes hybridized, will it produce Christians? It can't. The life or the seed that brings Christians to bring it not in them, like brings forth like the Baptists bring forth more Baptists and they act like Baptists. Methodists bring forth more Methodists and they act like Methodists. Not one is known by the power of God, nor can they be, for it's not there. They are known by their ceremonial worship of God and their creeds and their dogmas. Talk about hybrid. Do you know the most famous hybrid in the world? It has to be with us for, has been with us for ages. It is the mule. It is a cross between a donkey and a horse. He is a funny kind of animal. He cannot reproduce himself. He has no life that can do that. Yet talk about work. He can outwork the horse or the donkey. But what? Watch his nature. He is stubborn. And you can never trust him. He is a perfect picture of hybrid religion, a cross between truth and darkness. For the horse is a type of the true believer, and the ass is a picture of the unrighteous one. Mix them, and you have a sterile, formal religion. It hasn't the seed of life. It is dead. I can talk about the truth, but it can't produce it. It can talk about the truth, but it can't produce it. It doesn't have God in its midst, yet it gathers together and talks about God, and all the while systematically denies the power. They will deny the word in the very name of the Lord, and there is never any hope for them. Do you realize that no organized religion has ever had a revival? They always have a revival. and then they organize. Think about it. There's always little revivals, not just major revivals, even smaller ones. And no offense, but I will just say people around the doctrine, they organized around it and they killed it right there. People around the Voice of God and tapes only, they organized around it and they stopped right in their tracks. This is it, period. We're not going any further. We got it. You died. You cannot, God never stops. We won't know, we don't even know the period in this, the whole Bible that God has written yet. We don't even know. Just what little bit will give us the rapturing faith to get out of here, though? Excuse me. One thing I want you to think about when we read through these quotes in the scriptures is remember, all scripture has dual meaning. So there's a natural type side, and then Brother Branham was a typologist, so we tend to typology too. Well, there's also a spiritual side. So remember, whenever he says woman, think church. Whenever he says this, you know, think what you know you've heard, and just remember that when we go through here, and it'll help you understand what Brother Branham's actually trying to say. So when he's in here talking about a mule, he's not really talking about a mule. He's talking about the events and the mixing, you know. Do you realize that no organized religion ever had a revival? Never. Once they organized, they died. They can't ever come back. No, sir. I can show you that type in Exodus 13:13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. See, the ass can be redeemed. Every miserable sinner can be redeemed by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Or in rejecting Christ, be rejected himself. But you do not redeem the mule. There is no redemption for him. There is no blood for him. There can't be, because the mule takes refuge in the church, while the ass takes refuge in the blood. The mule has no seed in him that can be quickened, but the ass has seed. And from Does God Change His Mind? And they found out one of the great keynotes was that how they got this great revelation. There was a prophet among them. They had a prophet. Now, someone that led them, it wasn't a man-made system like he was used to, his delegations with him and so forth, but it was his dignitaries. But they had a leader, a divine called leader. And oh, what a sad day it was when the church world left off the divine leadership of the Holy Ghost and adopted a bishop or something else to take his place. It was a sad day. The Holy Spirit is the leader of the church. He is sent to confirm the words of Jesus Christ, to make the church live as it did live at the beginning. Amen. We're headed back there. That's the whole purpose. Marriage and divorce. In the beginning, it was not so from the beginning. That is right. It wasn't so, and it will not be at the end. Amen. Whatever happened in the beginning has to happen at the end. So God created a perfect Adam and Eve, if you want to call it that, but they fell away. But we have to get back there, and we can only do that by his word, amen? But under modern conditions, as God's servant, I won't call myself his prophet, but I believe maybe if I wouldn't be sent for that, I'm laying a groundwork for him when he does come. So under the modern conditions, I command you to go to your home with your wives now. If you are happy with her, live with her and raise your children in admonition of God. But God be merciful to you if you ever do that again. Brother Branham said, when you marry outside of your church, your beliefs, as long as you're happy with that person, that does not give you the right to divorce. Just because you're unhappy, that person doesn't go to your church. He said, stay as you are. Otherwise, you make the mess even worse. You teach your children to never do that thing. Look at that. Bring them up in the admonition of God. And now that you are as you are, let us go now and at the late evening hour that we're living in and press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ, where all things will be possible. Well, the woman is the tree. She is the fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And then the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. Through the woman come death. Through the church comes death. Nominal, organized, dogmatic. You're wearing too high heels. You're wearing too short a skirt. Those are things you should just know on your own or whatever. But they are like dogmatic and creeds and rule upon rule. Nicolaitanism. God won't have that. Though the woman come, the man in the original creation come life. To be born of the woman is death. To be born of the church or a creed. To be born of Christ is life. Get the idea? That's where, now you see where the goodness went to, don't you? First Adam and Eve, type the second Adam and Eve. See the multiplication? Now the multiplication of Adam and Eve was through sex to replenish the earth. But it wasn't so at the beginning. God just made a male and a female like he did his other creatures. See, legal, just like the church. For marriage and divorce, paragraph 190. They said Elijah was a woman hater. He wasn't a woman hater of real women. He just didn't like them Jezebels. And if that be so, then must be God must be the same way, because he is the word which come from the prophets. Sorry. Oh, to the prophets, sorry. So it must be God the same way. So you see, he knows the original creation from the beginning. He said, from the beginning, they were prophets who the word came to. And he made her from man and not man for her. Did you know that? Woman was made for man and not man for woman. How many knows that? Congregation says amen. The Bible teaches that, all right? She was given a place in man. The church was given a place in Christ before the fall. And we were equal over all creation. You women, you wives, are equal to your husband. There you go. Keep that one in your book. You print it off. But after the fall, now, after the church fell, we're talking about the church, not women. But after the fall, now here we begin the subject up, but after the fall, he was her ruler. Christ is our ruler. She must be kept silent in all matters. Now, after the original beginning is over, Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. That's when time began, when God made it first in his original creation. All that understand, say amen. In the beginning, God created just one male and one female. But then the woman was made different from the other animals, all the other animals for deception. Now watch now. It wasn't so from the beginning. She was made, if she had stayed in the original condition, she would have never been, there would have been never been no fall. But she caused the fall and the interpretation that broke the whole continuity of God, and through death and sorrow and everything else on earth, she was made for thus. So what is the church made for? Nominal. Deception. So that's how close it is. When Brother Brian talks about the closeness in the end time between, there are churches nominal and in this message that are forcing their way back into gifts, speaking in tongues, and all this stuff. They are desperate to get back to that. But they're getting ahead of God. They're trying to do it themselves. human emotion, working themselves up instead of just letting God have his way. But it wasn't so from the beginning. In 61, Brother Branham says, you know, Satan tried that on Jesus one time. Oh, yes. One time there came one from heaven to change his hybrid condition. So as he tempted Eve, he also tempted Jesus, got him up on the top of a mountain. He said, now, if thou be the Son of God, I want you to perform a miracle so I can see you do it. The same old devil lives today, just in other people. That's the same spirit of Christ lives today, only in other people's. You see, that's right. The man goes, but the spirit never does. So then he took him up on a mountain. He said, now, if you be the Son of God, tempted him by the word, said, it is written in the Bible, he will give his angels charge concerning you, lest any time you dash your foot against a stone and bear thee up. See, part of the word. But he didn't dash his foot against a stone. So he said, and it's also written, amen. Oh, he knowed he had somebody there besides Eve then. He couldn't hybrid this one. No, sir. He come out to breed back to Adam's race a living faith in the living word of the living God. And he proved right there by his action that the weakest saint on earth can beat the devil upon the written word of God. He was God himself manifested in flesh, had powers without limit, but he never used them. What did he do? He defeated Satan on the same thing that Satan defeated Eve on. Amen. He pulled the wool over him at that time. When he whitewashed the word of God to Eve, she believed it. But when he come to try to whitewash it with Jesus, he failed. Yes, sir, he failed because he stayed with the Father's word. Said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Amen. What did he do? Gave him right back his word. It can't fail. But if you go in there and you try to help God out and prove this or do that, you will surely mess it up. Just let God do the fighting for you. Amen? It's the same way the children of Israel were. If they had just left God alone, let him be the leader, this whole mess, we wouldn't even be here. But it's how things go. So we are learning from past mistakes. We're not going to do that. What did he do? Satan said he left him alone because he took the word of God. It wasn't no hybrid in him. He was the unadulterated, virgin-born son of the living God. He wasn't whitewashing him, whitewashing the word. He wasn't hybriding him. No, he had been born of God. He came from God and he went to God. He stayed on God's word. He never varied from it one bit. When he comes, he performs the sign of the Messiah that the Bible said he would perform, and the unbelieving hybrid church in that day didn't believe it. And when he does it today, they still don't believe it because it's hybrids. Said it wasn't so from the beginning. When he came, he found men teaching things that wasn't in the Bible. And then he said, it wasn't so from the beginning. I wonder if he come today, if he'd find a lot of them teachings and things that wasn't in the Bible, he'd say the same thing. It wasn't so from the beginning. Is that true? Now, we notice that the things that he found when he come, he found the church. Listen, and let this soak in good and deep. When he came, what did he find? He found people looking to the church for salvation. And what were they getting? A bunch of creeds. Dues upon dues. Don'ts, do this, do that. Basically Catholics, if you want to put it that way. They're the foremost, most ones that use rituals. So he found the people looking to the church for salvation. And what were they getting? A bunch of creeds. And that's the same thing that's existing today, a bunch of man-made creeds. Salvation comes through the blood and that only. And if you've got salvation, Jesus Christ said, these signs shall follow them that believe, and the works that I do shall you do also. That's salvation. That's the evidence of it. It'll be the same. Amen. Amen. Why? Because we have his life. You can't help but do it. Just don't get in God's way and try to do it yourself. from 61, but it wasn't so from the beginning. Listen, in closing, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And what did that vine? The vine doesn't bear any fruit. The branch in the vine bears the fruit. Did you ever see a vine bearing grapes? No, you saw the branches in the vine bearing grapes. Now let's reason something. If that vine, which is Christ, St. John 15th chapter, you believe that, don't you? Well, if that first vine brought out a branch, and it was a Pentecostal branch, he's talking about Paul's day, the original Pentecost, and behind this branch they wrote the book of Acts. Is that right, brethren? If that vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll be a Pentecostal branch that'll write the books of Acts behind it. Amen. Oh, you say, but I'm so-and-so, I belong. It wasn't so at the beginning. If you say, but Jesus, you know, I belong to the holy, it wasn't so at the beginning. That's right. He say the same thing. Why? We people, that's the days of miracles is past. It wasn't so from the beginning. We don't believe you have to speak with tongues. It wasn't so at the beginning. We don't believe in divine healing. It wasn't so at the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back where the church started, and it started on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost pouring down upon the people and filling their heart and filling their souls until they died as mortars burnt the earth upon their message of salvation. Get away from our man-made creeds and get back to the Bible. Yes, go back to the beginning. That's where we start. That's why you have every message in nominal church trying to get back on there instead of waiting on God, the same as all the stories in the Bible. When you see you get ahead of God, you will mess it up. But it wasn't so from the beginning. Again, in 61, brother, the church is a Pentecostal church. That life that's in the vine come up into one church and get a Pentecostal experience. And behind it, they have all kinds of gifts of the Holy Ghost, the signs of Jesus Christ. And today we have grafted in every different kind of denomination, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and even Pentecostal. Well, you just said that it was a Pentecostal vine. But this Pentecostal vine, so-called, that you see here at the end wasn't the one he's talking about. So-called grafted into, but they don't bear the original fruit. They don't have the original experience. That is Pentecost, the original experience, the life of Christ. Yet they are sucklings off the name of Christianity. That's right. That vine that ever brings forth another branch, it'll be a Pentecostal branch with signs following it. The believer, right back to the original. These hybrid things won't work. I know they're sticking in there called Christianity, but they are not Christianity. The fruits, by their fruits you shall know them. And why can't they? They never go back. They can never be an orange because they're hybrid, yet they wanted the name of a Christian. But they're hybrid. Oh, I know, and you may think I'm off on my head, but that's the truth. Every time it brings forth, what will it do? Have a revival? Sure, it will bear what? Lemons? A Methodist will bear Methodists. Baptists will bear back Baptist denomination. Pentecostal denomination will bear back Pentecostal. But when they go back to the original vine and come from the root, hallelujah, they come forth with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like they did at the beginning. And the same works and the signs that followed Jesus will follow and followed that early church, will follow the church today. You say, I do so-and-so, but it wasn't so from the beginning. Once God says something, I'll say it again, it is perfect. It will never change. If he does, he's not God, and that's not possible. You say, well, you take like the story of Naaman. He prayed to God, and prayer changes things. Sure, God gave him grace, but in the end, he still died. prayer may give you things, time, and prayer brings healing. But once God says something, it can't be changed. God doesn't change his mind. So what he created in the beginning, which was perfect, we're going back there. We're not there yet, but we're close. We're so close. Things that wasn't so from the beginning of his days. Okay. Teaching things that wasn't so. I suppose if he'd come back, he'd find the same thing. Things that wasn't so from the beginning. If you always want to know what's truth, go back to the beginning. Go back to Genesis. And you can take every cult and every true form today. The plants, all the beginning in Genesis, because Genesis is the seed chapter of the Bible. And if we want to know what is right, go back from the beginning. Just like I was trying to say last night, when God once makes a statement, he can never vary from that statement. He's got to keep it all the way through. What he said in Genesis is the same thing he said in Revelations. And all the way through, he's God, and that's all. See, all and all of his words are true. Things that wasn't so from the beginning, 61, Jesus, when he came, he said, Moses, because the hardness of your heart suffered you a divorce from your wife. But it wasn't so from the beginning. Now, we find out they took the commandments of God and made them of none effect. And when Jesus came, he found people looking to the church for salvation. What did they get? They got creeds. Each denomination makes up its own creed. And then that's what he found the people depending on the church for salvation. And they found man-made creeds. And if he came today in person and talked to us, he'd find the same thing. Man making the word of God fit their denomination, giving them creeds. And there's no salvation in a creed. If it's not the Bible, it's got to be the Bible, because his word is all we have need of, is his word. And his word, when his word, the word of God is God, that's all. It's the word himself. He's in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is still God, and it's still God. Now, we find out that when he came, he found the men then taking the commandments of God and making them of none effect, but taking the commandments of God and suiting it around to meet their creeds, so it was of none effect. And the church looked. The people looked to the church instead of looking to God's word. So therefore, he said it wasn't so from the beginning. We find the same today, as I've quoted two or three times already this morning, and watching that clock, it makes me nervous. I want to say this, though. That is true. Then in the day as it is now, and now as it was then, they holler out, "Where is God?" Well, the very thing, they've left God when they left his word. That's the reason we have these things the way we do today, is because people left the word of God. Amen. And from the Sumerian church age, 59, go back to the beginning. Let nature alone. Let God alone. Keep the church in the Holy Ghost and get away from all these bishops and popes and all kinds of doctrine. Go back to where it started at. Go back. Jesus would come tonight, you'd say, "I'm a Methodist." He'd say, "It was not so from the beginning." "I'm a Presbyterian." It wasn't so from the beginning. What's at the beginning? A Pentecostal experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the way it began. Matthew 7:22-23, many shall say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." again from 60, it wasn't so from the beginning. We need a bread in Holy Ghost religion. Holy Ghost power. Where is God? God is in his church. God is in his word. God is in his people. And God is in his universe. He is everywhere, but we can't hybrid him into something because he won't cross up with nothing. It's oil and water. It just won't mix. He's God and God alone. You can't breed him in 5 or 6 different things and 4 or 5 different gods. He's God and God alone. He won't hybrid. He's God. You can't make intercession of the saints and say this saint did this and that saint did that. No such a thing. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, the only mediator. What's the matter with the church then? If he was here on earth, which he is, and we find the church today in the same condition he did, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man, he said it wasn't so from the beginning. Now we find out what it was at the beginning. Again, from 1960, that same thing we've gotten today when the Holy Spirit's here, the person of the Holy Spirit hunting out, searching out the bride of Christ. What do we get? What does he find? People accepting creeds for salvations instead of going back to the original for it. You've got a prayer book or some kind of text or some sort. We so-and-so believes this and so-and-so. Why do you take a textbook for it? God's Bible is the textbook. Go back to the beginning. You adopt a handshake instead of the baptism. You adopt sprinkling instead of water baptism. You adopt forms of creeds and so forth instead of taking the formula the way God wrote it. That's the reason we got a dead hybrid church today, because it can't produce anymore. A Lutheran can make a Lutheran. A Baptist can make a Baptist. A Presbyterian can make a Presbyterian. But God makes a saint. When he comes in the original Holy Ghost Pentecostal blessing. From Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. This paragraph here is kind of where I'm going to go with my next communion services. I'm going to go into these three things that are noted here in this quote. First is to express himself completely, God in Christ. That's pretty easy. We've been hearing a lot of that. It's the Godhead. I'm not going to go too deep into it. And then secondly, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is the body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Amen. That's where we're at now. All right? And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightful position that fell by sin by the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people and talked with them and fellowshiped with them. And now sin and death has separated them from his presence. And his entire expression, do you read it? Before the foundation of the world, expresses all his attributes. That's where we're going back to. Amen. The fellowship with God through reconciliation. I love the story where Brother Branham talks about how he walked down into the garden and Adam and Eve were there and he fellowshiped with them. It didn't need to be a prophet back then. God didn't, before the fall, he didn't have to go back and talk to a prophet so that he could talk to us. You walked with him there. We're going back there. Now, we're in a prophet. It's been a prophet the whole time. There's no disputing that. And even now, we preach from what the prophet told us. But we're going to move into that spot where it is us talking to him. Daily. You say, how can you pray without ceasing? Can I use you as an example just a little? I love my wife, but she's like, you know, I never see you pray. And I said, I tell her, I never stop. I never stop praying. Every step. you think, is this where you want me to go? Each situation, you pray as you're going. You don't got to stop and get down on your knees and pray and, you know, all this. You can if you want, if that's what suits you. But you should pray without ceasing. Amen. From here to your car, from your car to your work, from your car back to church. Whatever you do, you're always praying. That's how you walk in the Spirit of God. I'm not perfect by no means. My wife knows all my faults. But I, regardless of those, I still pray all the time. Everything is, what do you want me to do? And if you get into that mindset, God will work with you on everything. You know, if that door's closed, well, don't go try to push it open. Walk through the door that's open he has for you and continue on as he shows you how to go. Amen. Fellowship with God through reconciliation to 56. Brother Branham says, every nation is trying to get an atomic bomb. Now, overrule and power to say all nations will blow at, you know, basically power. It can't do it. But God laid down a program in the beginning how that man can have fellowship one with another. Yes. And we'll have to come to God's terms on it. That's all. In the beginning, when man used to walk in the early age with God in the Garden of Eden, when the first man was created in the great cathedrals under the palms, he and his wife, when the cool of the evening come along, they come out and worship God and had a perfect fellowship with God. God longs for fellowship. He yearns. He wants people to speak with him, to talk with him. You might do one, you might sing too much, or you might preach too much sometime. But there's one thing that you'll never be able to overdo, and that's pray. The Bible said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. You'll never be able to have too much fellowship with God. And God longs for his creature, who he created in his image, to fellowship with him. Wouldn't you love to have lived in that time when the great fellowship God had with Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden, to come down in the cool of the evening and to walk with them and fellowship with them? Wouldn't that be marvelous? We all would love to have that time. Now, I believe by God's word, I can prove to you that we can come right back on the terms again with God tonight, right straight back to the kind of fellowship that he had in the beginning. I pray that's your desire. Think about it. You literally can pray 24 hours a day. Maybe not while you're sleeping. I don't dream. So 12 hours. But I mean, think about it. That's how you commune with him. You're always seeking his will in whatever you're doing. Sometimes it may not seem like it. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants on some things, in a way. That's kind of a broad term. But if you're constantly praying about it, you'll know if it's right or if it's wrong. God, if he's in your life, will check you. That's wrong. Don't do that. Turn. About face. Go the other way. But what a wonderful thing. And I hope that on the next two or three services with what I showed you there, that we can go deeper into this and show you what the church is supposed to be doing right now. And I drive for a living, and so I listen to tapes a lot while I'm driving. I need to find a better way to take notes, because I heard something Brother Branham said and it sparked me, and now I can't find it. So pray that I can find it, because it was tremendous. He talks about the fullness of God in his people. And that's where we have to get if we're going to get out of here. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We truly are thankful for your prophet. The simplicity, yet the complexity. Lord, the just knowing that it is all you that spoke. Lord, we live by every word. Lord, help us to apply it in our lives. Help us to ever keep you before us, Father, to walk in the light as you are in the light, Father. praying constantly, knowing your will, knowing your word, Father, is our heart's desire. Bless us now as we get ready to take communion. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.